You were listening to The Peaceful Planet synthesized from spirit through the mediumship of Robert Murray. Listen in to The Peaceful Planet every Saturday at 12 noon Central to music from the angelic realms, including inspired songs from John Lennon, George Harrison, and Michael and the Band. This is show host Marcia McMahon inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and the Archangels as we bring you into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Hear my weekly interviews with cutting-edge world teachers and musical talent.
Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? We are one on the Peaceful Planet show at www.bbsradio.com every Saturday at 12 noon Central Time.
Welcome, everyone, to the Peaceful Planet. This is your show host, Marcia McMahon, coming to you today on this lovely Saturday in the fall. We are opening our phone lines for some readings if you want to have a mini reading with me at the start of our show. We also have a wonderful musical talent with us. We are honored to present Glenn Kidd and his new CD called Sartori, and we're going to be featuring all of his music for the hour. Glenn is a very gifted musician, and we have a couple of announcements prior to our interview with Glenn. I just want to say a big thank you to everybody that I met last week at the George Harrison Festival in Benton, Illinois. I had an awesome time and met up with the Pete Best Band and did bring through some messages from John. And then Bob Bartel was the person who had saved the house that George first visited in America, so we got into a lot of the Beatles history, a lot of great fans, and it was really fun. So anyway, I want to mention another event that's coming up next weekend that I'm going to be involved with, and that is the Lightworkers Conference in Chicago, and that's being hosted by Joanne Macko, who was on our program a few weeks back. And she is bringing together light workers from all over the Midwest. I'm going to be speaking on Friday night about 9 or 9:30 on my memories of a past life I had with Jesus as well. I'm going to be doing some channeled messages from Jesus or Yeshua and doing readings that weekend. So if you are interested in having a reading or attending the conference, the correct website for the Lightworkers Conference is lightworkersconference.com. That's www.lightworkersconference.com. And I'm sure that Joanne would be happy to accommodate you, though I think most of the sign-up has already occurred. And it's going to be a fabulous program, and I guess Dolores Cannon, who is also on this network, is going to be presenting some of her information and is one of the keynote speakers for the event. So I think it'll all in all be an excellent event. If you would like to sign up for some readings with me ahead of time, you can contact me in email at marciadi2002@yahoo.com. Again, my email is marciadi2002@yahoo.com if you want to contact me, or you can send in a question for the show. So, Glenn, it's wonderful to have you on our program. I've been waiting a long time to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much, Marcia, for having me. It's a great honor to be here on your program, and we both, of course, have such a great love for John Lennon.
Yes, and I'm feeling him all around us right now. Are you sensing his love vibration coming through?
Well, considering I only live a few blocks away from the Dakota, you know, he's always up in the neighborhood, so...
Oh, wow. I didn't realize you lived that close to the Dakota. I knew you were a big-time New Yorker, and a lot of your work is inspired by John, I know, and we're going to be featuring all that wonderful music. Before we get into the interview, I'm going to open up our phone lines to see if there's any listeners out there that would like a mini reading, and I ask you to make your question brief, and I will locate whatever it is that you're needing me to find, and we'll put the number out there. It's been a while since I've done readings for our listeners, but if you would like a mini reading, you can call us at 877-876-5227, or you can call us, and that's America, and then Canada is 888-810-8322, and I'd be happy to take your call. I'm on the line. Okay, we have a caller.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. My name is Nancy.
Oh, hello, Nancy. Nancy, do I know you from before?
I don't know.
Okay, then you're not the Nancy that calls the show a lot. Okay, Nancy, could you proceed with your question, and I'll see what the angels have to say.
Oh, that'd be so great. I appreciate that. You know, every time I glance at the clock, I see the 11:22, 11:33, but I'm getting the double digits all the time.
Uh-huh.
And that's not rare for me, but it seems like it's happening quite frequently and all the time at this point. So I'm getting the feeling like, there's a meaning behind it, but I'm just not getting it.
Yeah. Have you heard of the 444, Nancy?
The 444?
Yeah.
No.
Have you seen any fours in a row?
Yeah, I've seen the 444s as well.
Okay, well, I can explain that. Number sequences are a sign that you're tuning into spirit, and different number sequences are generally accepted to mean different things. But basically, they are sort of a universal language from the angels. Mm-hmm. And in particular, this was highlighted in Nick Bunick's book called The Messengers, and this was some years ago. And I noticed it after I read the book that I would get a lot of 444s, and whenever I'm on a lucky streak,
mm-hmm.
You must be on a lucky streak, because when you get these number sequences, they do mean something. But the thing to do is to write them down in a journal and then begin to work with them. Write the ones down that you're seeing all the time, because in general, the 444 means the angels are with you and you're on a, you know, they're looking after you, and it's a sign of good luck. Most of these numbers that appear in rows are not coincidences, and they're sort of there to remind you to think about the angels and to know that they are sending you a message of love at that moment.
So then, let me tell you this. Lately, within the last week, I've been getting these, waking up about 2 o'clock in the morning or so.
Uh-huh.
Every
so
single night. So I'm really tired. But the thing of it is that for a few nights, I was getting this really strange sensation in my chest area.
Hmm.
And also in the back, in my back, on the, you know, the wing area, both
mm-hmm.
sides. And I woke up and I got another, I looked at the clock and I got another, it was, I don't know if it was 333. They're just coming so fast that I can't, you know, keep track. But I was wondering,
mm-hmm.
do I need to see a doctor, or does this have a connection with the ascension process? Or?
Yeah, let me check the records for you and see what spirit is giving me.
Okay.
I'm being told that these are divine signs of your own inner awakening, Nancy, and that you should not ignore any physical symptoms either, although I'm being told that it's probably nothing. It doesn't hurt to check out anything that might be a physical symptom.
Right.
But I'm being told that these are not coincidences, and that many at this time, these number sequences seem to me to be the beginning of one's awakening, and that's what I'm being told,
mm-hmm.
that you're beginning to awakening to your own role in this whole ascension process. Have you been working with this for a while?
Well, you know what? I had a white light experience in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I guess I've been searching and doing the work and you know, those kinds of things. So I'm not a stranger to, but this just seems to be the number sequences just, you know, like are hitting me over the head at this point.
Yeah.
And the sensations that I'm getting in my chest, it doesn't feel like a heart attack. It doesn't feel like a tightening. It feels like energy. But it's so, it can be distressing because it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. I tend to think that these are just ascension symptoms. But I would say, too, to be on the safe side, that you get a physical if you think that there's anything
right.
pain-wise. But I'm feeling more like I'm being shown sort of a hologram right now, and that this is part of sacred geometry, and you're tapping into the energies. You know, the whole universe is arranged on numbers. So numbers are a way of communicating from the spirit realm for you. But I would keep track of the numbers, because sometimes 2 can mean a pairing, and 3 can mean the Trinity. And four can mean the presence of the angels. And there's generally ascribed meanings to the numbers. So I would keep a journal and see where that goes. Maybe you're getting some signals that you need to pay attention to. Maybe these numbers mean more to you. And they're going to mean something different to everybody, but there are some generalizations that I've given you, too. Did that help, Nancy?
Yeah, that does. That helps a lot. I'm just going to pay attention and keep a record as you suggest.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for calling, and call us back another day.
Okay. Be well, dear. Bye.
Well, thank you. Love you, too.
You know, Marcia, I have to share something, two things with you, talking about numbers.
Uh-huh.
Here in New York right now, I just looked up at the clock. It's 1:11.
Oh, wow.
So it's 111. And matter of fact, about a little over an hour ago, I sent both you and our friend Shelley Jermu a link that I had found on YouTube. It was of a rare film footage of John Lennon at the Hit Factory recording studio that he was being interviewed about 2 months before he passed away. And when I sent it to her, she wrote me back an email saying, "It's really funny that you sent this. I received this at 9:09 Pacific time." And 909, of course, was a very big thing with John Lennon, that number. And I actually used that particular number in my song Introspection, which is on my CD Satori.
Do we have that file? I don't think we have the file.
No. And that CD Satori actually is 3 years old now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's my more recent CD, but I can't believe it's already 3 years since I released that record.
Well, you had written, I got that in the email, and I checked out the footage, and it was blurry and a little hard to understand, but it looked like it was rare footage, and I'm going to look at it again, you know. But that's amazing about, you know, the connection that you have with numbers, too. I think all of us that are even a little bit psychic and tune into this recognize these are not coincidences, and John has a 9 connection. Wasn't the 9th his birthday, or?
It was his birthday actually the other day on October 9th. And theoretically, when he passed away on December 8th in England, at the time that he passed away here in New York, which was after 11 o'clock at night, it was already December 9th in England. But also, he lived on West 72nd Street, which that's a 9, and his apartment number up in the Dakota was apartment number 7. He had actually two apartments up there: apartment 71 and 72. And so 72 is another 9, and it's a really amazing of how, and actually the Dakota building, I think, is actually 9 floors.
Hmm. Wow.
It's 9 or 10 floors in that building, but it's amazing. And I was in Central Park the other day at Strawberry Fields for John's birthday, and it was amazing how many people were there and singing and playing John's music. And
oh, how wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, I was at that Beatle Fest last weekend, too, and so many were playing Working Class Hero and so many of the great tunes that John did solo, as well as, of course, as the early Beatle tunes. I mean, he was the most phenomenally gifted songwriter of the 20th century, in my opinion, anyway. Don't you think?
Absolutely. Well, I think, you know, him working with Paul McCartney, they definitely had such a wonderful working chemistry together in writing songs. And, of course, when John wrote, you know, as a solo artist, a lot of greats, especially on that last record, Double Fantasy, and the one that came out after he passed, Milk and Honey. There's some really great songs that he was writing in that last year of his life.
Oh, definitely. He was multi-talented. And as you know, he's writing some lyrics through me, and I know that he's writing through you, and you feel that one of your songs in particular is inspired by his presence. And I'd like to, if I may, ask our producer to go ahead and play that. And the name of that one is Stillness Speaks, correct? And could you tell us a little bit about the song before we play it?
Sure. Well, actually, on that record, Satori, there's a few songs like Shangri-La, Introspection. There's quite a few, Life, Love, the Tragedy, and Stillness Speaks. Those songs were all channeled to me through John, specifically the Shangri-La and Stillness Speaks. Stillness Speaks was amazing because that and Shangri-La were the two last songs I recorded for the Satori record. And I actually, prior to writing those two songs, I had pretty much all the songs for the record. And when I thought I was just going to go with what I already had, John came to me in my living room and said to me, "Listen, you got these two other songs that I feel you should put in your record. And one will be on piano, one will be on guitar." So he had me go over to my keyboard, which has piano sounds, and basically I took a cassette and recorded what I was getting, which ended up becoming Stillness Speaks. And I remember calling my record producer and telling him, you're not going to believe this. And he came over a day or two later and worked with me on the song. And he even felt the spirit of John in the room as we were recording it now, all the musical parts. And it's a brilliant thing. The most brilliant thing about that song, not so much just the lyrics and the music, the part of the music that's really captivating to me is what they call the middle eighth section, where in the song, it's the part that I'm not singing. It's where all these changes are going on, and they're not easy changes because they're played in flat keys, and I'm not that crafty to write that kind of an arrangement. And for that to come out, it reminded me of sort of the middle eighth section of A Day in the Life. And I really have such fond memories of writing that song and recording it, and it's definitely one of my favorites, and I'm so thankful that it was given to me.
Well, I definitely hear John Lennon in your song, and I think it's time for us to just sit back and listen to Stillness Speaks by Glenn Kidd from the Sartori album, CD rather.
In this age of awareness, and every day miracles happen if you just take the time to notice. So count all of your blessings without having attachments. Feel more than think, no more than believe. It's when you find inner peace that stillness speaks from the heart. Love is all you need, and stillness speaks from the heart. Progress like an artist painting a canvas, created from pure intention, not a silhouette but as reflection. Thank you.
And we're back on the Peaceful Planet. You just heard Stillness Speaks by Glenn Kidd from the Satori CD. And Glenn, as we were listening, we were talking about some of the transitions there in the song.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how you feel that you could never have written that.
No, I'm not that crafty. I mean, I think I'm a good songwriter and a fairly decent musician. And that section of the song, again, that middle eight section where I'm not singing, those chords that transition, especially that they were all on piano in the key of F sharp, it's tricky to play it. And when I play that song live, I actually have to play, because the song was written in F sharp, I have to play that song live in the key of G, because there's no way I could play it in the key of F sharp live. It's just too complicated. So,
well, I know very little about music, and I'm not a musician. I'm just recording the words to some of the songs we're doing. But I also have to confirm that The Stillness Speaks is, I think, John Lennon coming through talking about how we all need to learn to meditate and we need to hear our still, small voice. I think that's what he might be referring to, don't you think?
Absolutely. The whole underlining theme really is that, and it's, you know, each of us are here on a journey searching for something, and it's all within, and that inner, when you have that Stillness Speaks within you, you'll get the answers. And really, it's kind of funny about the title, because when I was writing all the lyrics for that, I was kind of stuck for the chorus title, and I had this book at the time that I ended up giving up to a friend of mine, but I had a book by Eckhart Tolle on my bookshelf called Stillness Speaks. And so I just happened to think, what can I call this song? And I glanced at the book for some reason, and I was like, you know what? That's going to flow with the rest of those lyrics in that chorus.
I see. That's great. Well, that's where the inspiration came from then. But
the title,
Yeah, the title. But I think, you know, it does relate to working with spirit and channeling and John's wisdom that does come through me. So, you know, I confirm it's definitely got his flavor to it. And so let's move on to another song. What would you like to suggest then, Glenn?
I think we could play this other song that John had channeled to me, which ended up being the last song I recorded for Satori. And this one was I wrote on guitar. It's one of my favorite songs also, and a song that I open up live shows with. It's called Shangri-La.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
And it's funny
Shangri-La.
Because, yeah, the version on the record, what's really funny now that I look back and I go, wow, I should have really, I'd love to redo that track, because on the album it's kind of slow and droney, whereas live I played a bit faster. But it's very kind of, the chords are very like 1950s. Sort of a lot of stuff that John was influenced by, like Smokey Robinson and, you know, a lot of these early kind of guys. And I took a lot of those early, late 50s, early 60s kind of influences. I mean, in those chord changes, that they basically go back to that kind of sound.
Yeah, it does. Now, could you give us a few samples of the lyrics?
Oh, sure. You know, one of the greatest lyrics, the influence of the song came from more about me thinking about the events of 9/11 and what that really meant to the world.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was more thinking about something in that sense and kind of, you know, how many more wake-up calls do we really need to kind of understand that we're all universally one and we're all interconnected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorite lines is the opening lyric, where it just says, it's fear of the unknown that will get you every time. You could play the victim or the hero in your own mind. And that's basically saying that, you know, if you have fear about doing things in life or have fear about anything, you really kind of could do yourself more harm than good. And that's where when I put that line in, you can play the victim or the hero in your own mind, it's all how you interpret it. You know, if you go on love, it works great. If you go on fear, it doesn't work so great. And so
That's a lot of wisdom that you said just there. Yeah. That is really, really true. So in this case, these were more or less your own lyrics and thoughts rather than maybe the music was channeled, but maybe the lyrics were more your own.
Well, you know, I think kind of it's a kind of a combination, because the music definitely was channeled to me. The lyrical content, especially the title, you know, which Shangri-La means an imaginary place, even though conceptually I was thinking about everything that had happened with 9/11 and what did we learn from it, I really think that the lyrics in itself came from John, to be quite honest. I mean, I think just my concept of it was there, but the song created itself.
Okay, well, let's hear it then. Don, if you can play for us Shangri-La by Glenn Kidd, and we'll be back in a few moments. Back on the Peaceful Planet with Glenn Kidd, and you were just listening to Shangri-La, correct?
That's it, Shangri-La.
Yeah, and that was a great sounding tune, and you were saying that it sort of had a 50s inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a very take of 50s and, you know, the early 60s. I mean, all that stuff, I like a lot of that stuff that guys like John Lennon, like Smokey Robinson, and, you know, I like Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and I love the Ronettes. In the 60s, so I always wanted to kind of take something from those elements and incorporate it into my music, and which I'm doing now with a new band that I'm working with. We have a saxophone in the band, and really adds a lot of flavor to that kind of sound.
Yeah, I love that old sound, too, and I know John was also influenced by, oh, the old blues artists and everything, too, which most of the rock bands in the 50s and 60s picked up on, you know.
Absolutely.
So I thought maybe... we play one of the tunes that Bob Murray's been creating for our show, and I'd read some of the lyrics, and you could get a sense and a flavor for the tunes we're doing. Not that it's any comparison, because you are truly a gifted musician, and I am not a musician. I'm a channel, and I'm just doing my job for peace and love on, you know, on Earth here to bring it more into the awareness. But it's been a great honor to work with John Lennon, even in this way, writing his lyrics. And some of these lyrics are just things that are just way beyond me that I could not write. And I'm sure you feel the same way about some of your songs.
Sure. Just that, yeah. My advice would be to copyright those words so somebody who lives up here on the Upper West Side doesn't claim ownership to them.
Oh, they copyrighted back in 2005. Everything that I have from him is copyrighted, although the members of the Pete Best Band were allowed to look at some of the lyrics last weekend, but I made sure that I got everything back.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about me. I think there would be a certain individual who would put a claim on your words.
There are people out there that would do that, for sure, you know? Yeah, so I was going to read some words to the song titled Appreciated Angels, but I think what we could do is listen to Appreciated Angels. Well, welcome back, everyone. We're sorry. Apparently, there were some connection problems, and there was a power surge at BBS, and we are back up listening to music that's being inspired from the heavenly realms, including music that is being channeled from John Lennon, and we were just discussing all that and about to play a song when we lost our listeners. We apologize. We're glad you stayed with us. And we have Glenn Kidd on the phone here with us, and he's telling us about some of his music. And we were about to play a song, Appreciated Angels, but I think it might have been John Lennon that decided something else needed to be played. So, Glenn, what did you make of that?
Well, you know, I mean, it's like, listen, you know, spirit always is in control of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that from, you know, being a medium and working the last 15 years as a medium. So it's very possible that it could have had either something to do with the comment that I had made before we lost connection, or, you know, who knows? I mean, it's more, you know, it is what it is. So
yeah.
What matters is now, this moment, we're back.
Yeah. So here we are again, and is Spirit giving you any titles right now that you might want to work with your music?
For new music?
No, for right now on the show, is there another title that you'd like to play? We were talking about the two that we also were going to feature.
Oh, another song of mine, you mean?
Yeah, another song.
We could play Life Was a Tragedy.
Okay. And did you also say that there was some reference in there to John?
Yeah, that actually... With prior to Shangri-La and Stolen Speaks, that was actually the third final song that I thought that was the song that I had to finish the record that lands up being the opening track. And yeah, I wrote that song on piano, and there's this great section in the bridge that has, like, it's very Beatlesque, and it just created itself. And I think that basically was definitely something outside of me, specifically because I was, you know, if you want me to give me a quick little synopsis of what the song is, I'd be more than happy to quickly share it with you.
Yeah, please do.
You know, television is not what television used to be, as I'm sure many people can relate to. And I really used to enjoy watching television programs that were fun and educational. And so at the time when I was doing that record, I guess one night I was trying to watch TV, and basically the television was just consumed with all those so-called reality shows.
Mm-hmm, that's awful.
And I felt like, you know, people are really getting their kicks off of other people's pain or whatever it is, or, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm judging others because that's not what the intention is, but I basically felt like what is happening to our society culturally that there's so much junk going through airwaves. And so I guess out of frustration, I just thought to myself, man, really, God, life loves a tragedy. And so that's what the song is about. It's about
so
kind
true,
of...
So true, Glenn. That is an appropriate response to a lot of the trash that's out there. But again, the reason that we're here, BBS is here, and your show and your music is to uplift people.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite lines in that song is the second verse where I say, I'd rather be talking to the dead than renting precious space inside my head. So... I always crack up when I think of that lyric because it was a little sarcastic, but it was meant to be that way. But it's so true at the same time that I'd rather be talking to spirit and getting knowledge and wisdom and positive things from the source or spirit, the spirit world, than what I was seeing on television or what I'm still seeing on television.
Yeah, it hasn't changed yet, although I would like to see those of us in the New Age move into more TV programming so that we can begin to do some uplifting things and change the mass consciousness, because that's, I think, what John was all about in his work and what you're all about in your work. With
well, yeah, you know, I just want to point...
It's uplifting.
Sure. You know, one of the things I just want to kind of point out, you know, and not knocking media in any form, because I've done a lot of media over the years, but in specific with television, it always kind of amazes me that, you know, every 5 minutes you're seeing an ad on television to buy different prescription drugs or take different prescription drugs. And meanwhile, you have commercials that are saying don't drink and drive or don't smoke cigarettes, but you have always commercials promoting drug use. And so, and prescription drugs are drugs, the reality of it. So it kind of, to me, it doesn't add up right. And, you know, I've just never been one to buy into what people sell, and I think that goes really to sum up what Life Was a Tragedy is all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with a lot of different issues in American life that need to be rectified, but... Anyway, let's sit back and enjoy the song, and we're going to play Life, Love, the Tragedy, and when we come back, I'm going to read some messages from John Lennon and a few selections of lyrics, too, and then we'll play some of our music. So we'll come back in a moment. ¶¶ yeah, and thank you for staying with us. You were listening to Life, Love, the Tragedy by our special guest, Glenn Kidd. And, Glenn, if you could tell us where you can pick up your CD and give us your website again.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show today. And anybody who would like to get my CD, I actually have a music profile on MySpace. So if they just go myspace.com/Glenn with two N's, Kid with two D's, they can get it. There's a PayPal button there. And there's actually all, you know, even on iTunes, Amazon.com, any of those major internet retail chains that you can buy CDs, those, my two CDs are actually on there. Even though my first CD, Aura of Grace, is out of print, so anybody who wanted stuff on that record, they'd have to buy the downloads of the songs. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's very reasonably priced, I thought, too.
$9.99, and actually I donate part of the money that I receive for that record to the Humane Society and TASPCA in the memory of my mom and my stepmom. So that's
oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Well, before we close out, I wanted to read a brief message from John dating back a little while ago when I was on air in Sydney, and it was concerning how to get our music out to the public, and I thought you'd find this interesting. So I'm going to go ahead and read this message from John, and I'm saying hello and wanted to know your thoughts on Barry's interview. Yeah, okay, coming in clear now, Marcia. John here. Okay, John, just saying hello and wanted your thoughts. Oh, yeah, it was fabulous. We think so highly of your work for peace and your bravery in asking for an agent for me. It's a great honor. We're all hoping that special agent steps forward for my music for Bob Murray and you. We're glad you're working so hard on all your stuff, school and all. I never liked school. I was a poor student, but I think I had a great mind. Too bad the way they pervert every form of learning, you know. We like your style and teaching and your work. We just hope that that break will be coming along soon. George and I are working on the new material all the time, and we know there will be a breakthrough. So, but on the point of the music, it does seem much more complex than we ever imagined. Imagine that. I write from the heart, and I sing from the heart, and my mind doesn't get into the tangled webs that the legalese use. On that, I can't advise. We're off to do another song. Hang in there. We're with you. Love you. Ciao, John. So those were his thoughts a few years ago, and I've been back on Barry's show a number of times and featured some of the music that both George and John are doing. And I think I'd like to play one for you right now and let you hear it, and then we'll come back on if there's time. And then, you know, say our parting words. I'm thinking maybe, I know, Don, do you have Radical Dolphin mix available? All right, and you were listening to The Radical Dolphin, and we are signing off for the day. Glenn, it was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'd like to give out your MySpace again.
Well, thank you so much again for having me on the show, Marsha. It was wonderful to be here, and my MySpace is myspace.com/Glenn with two N's, kid with two D's, and
right.
Anybody on there can go there.
Yeah, and I would recommend picking up the CD. It's a pleasure to listen to, and you're a wonderful, talented musician and medium, and it's great to connect with our mutual connection through John Lennon, sending out love and peace to our listening audience and to you and everyone. Thank you so much for your patience, and we'll see you again next week.